Then our text will be in chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God. That's the title of our study through the book of Genesis we started a few weeks ago. Now, as we go from this title verse, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's move over to chapter 2 and read verse 1 through 7 for the portion of scripture we'll be dealing with today. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Somewhere this past week, I was listening to the Christian radio station while I was waiting on my lovely wife. And on this particular time, I don't remember if it was for last week or if it's something that was scheduled for this week, but they were talking about how it was coming up to bring your Bible to school day. Bring your Bible to school today. I guess there is such a thing as bring your Bible to school day. I know there is a special day of prayer annually held at school. Prayer at the pole or meeting at the pole or something to that effect. And I thought about that. Bring your Bible to school. I wonder how many young people are courageous enough to take their Bibles to school. I had to step back and ask myself, I wonder how many young people are brave enough to take their Bible and be seen in school with their Bible. I had to step back and say, I wonder how many adults are brave enough to be seen carrying a Bible these days. Are you brave enough to be seen carrying the Word of God? From time to time, when we go to conferences or we're preaching revivals and we have to stay in motels, as we come and go and we get our luggage in and suitcases and stuff in, many times I have to carry my Bible in by itself with my notebook. And it's amazing, as you carry the Word of God, it is so recognizable as a Bible. You can see people as you walk through the halls to your room. You can see people, their eyes are immediately drawn. He's got a Bible! That's a terrible thing. Their eyes just pierce. He's carrying a Bible! Watch out! Avoid that guy. We ought not to be ashamed of the Bible. We ought not to be ashamed of the Word of God. People are ashamed of it because they think the Bible has error in it. They're ashamed of it because they think science knows better. Man's theories are more accurate than the Word of God, and they're wrong. When the Bible tells us in the beginning was God, that means God was eternal. God did not start. God has always been. When the Bible tells us in the beginning God created, we're told that God created all things that are. In the beginning God, we're told in that statement that this is God's witness. This is God's testimony. This is God's eyewitness record to what he did in the beginning when time began. And we ought to believe it. We ought to be sure of it. We ought to stand upon it. We ought not to be ashamed of it. And we ought to be able to defend it. We come to this second chapter, the first seven verses. Like verse 1 and verse 2 of chapter 1, many people say there is a big gap. There is a period of maybe millions of years between chapter 1 and chapter 2 here. But that's not what the Scripture teaches. That's not what the Scripture reflects. We've already established that we believe God created the heavens and the earth in six literal 24-hour periods. We don't believe in gaps, and we don't believe in cataclysmic, crazy things that caused God to have to wait or caused God to have to rely on evolution. God created the heavens and the earth. He did that in six literal 24-hour days. And when we come to this passage this morning in chapter 2, you can almost see that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, belongs to the first chapter, or is a continuation of what the first chapter reveals to us. Chapter 1, verse 31 says, "And God saw everything. God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made." God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he ceased his creating. In chapter 2, verse number 1 tells us that the heavens and the earth and all the host of them, and all the host of them were finished. God finished his creative work. All things that have ever been created, all things that God created, were finished according to God's record here in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. The heavens and the earth were finished. Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33. Verse number 6, just one example of other passages of Scripture that give us support to the fact that God created the heavens and earth and all things. And Psalm 33, verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Not only by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalm 33, verse 6 gives support to the fact God created the heavens and the earth and all the hosts. That means he's being inclusive of everything that was created by God, was created at this time, and was finished at this time. You see, throughout these first three verses of Genesis 2, almost a in-your-face repetition of God saying, he finished it, he finished it, he ceased, he ended, it was done. Thus the heavens of the earth were finished. What did God mean by that? It means they were finished. With all the hosts of those, he was finished. And on the seventh day, verse 2, God what? What did God do? God ended. God ended his work. He ended the work of creation which he had made. He rested on the seventh day. And the word rested here does not imply that God was weary or that God was tired. Because God doesn't get weary and God doesn't get tired. But you can study this word out and you can find that it speaks of cessation. Once again, it speaks that God ceased creating on the seventh day. He ceased from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that he had rested, he had ceased from all his work which God created and made. Psalm chapter 121, verse 4, we won't turn there, tells us that God doesn't sleep, God doesn't slumber. Just in support of that fact that I stated, God doesn't get tired. God did not rest because he had worn himself out. He ceased. He finished his creative work, and all things that were created, and God was done creating at this time. As we have said already in the course of this study, we believe God created the heavens and the earth in six literal 24-hour days, six literal 24-hour periods of time. We not only believe that, but we can go on beyond that and say we believe if God had chose to, God could have done it in 6 minutes. If God chose to, God could have done it in 6 seconds. If God chose to and God wanted to, he didn't have to spend any time at all, humanly speaking. Our God is a great God, a sovereign God, an omnipotent God, an all-powerful God. And thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Verse number 3 says, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. God blessed the seventh day. And I believe we observe time and we mark time and we measure time by weeks. By weeks of 7 days, traceable back to the very Word of God. God gave us this measurement of time. God gave us this measurement of a week being made of 7 days. I was listening to things this week, and I guess there have been attempts over the centuries. There's been attempts by man and by governments and by kings and what have you, to change the week from 7 days to some other number. I believe the reason it has failed and we still measure weeks by 7 days is because that's the pattern of Scripture. That's the pattern given to us by the Word of God. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Verse number 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. That's what God tells us in His Word. That's what God's people believe. And as I have said at least two, maybe three times already, we don't believe this, we don't believe these things because there are other books that support it. We don't believe these things, we don't hold to these things because somebody tells us we should. But we believe and we hold to these things by faith. We believe by faith what God tells us in His Word. And we believe God's Word says what it means what it says, and is truth. Long before you had any other kind of books, long before you had any other kind of evidence man might try to throw up to muddy the waters, we had the Word of God. We have the record, and we had the record. God blessed the seventh day. Here in Genesis, you don't find the word commanded attached to it. As it is later on when the law is brought, Exodus chapter 20, God, in reference to the Sabbath, uses the word command. But the word command is not attached to the third verse here of our text. It doesn't say God commanded. It says God blessed. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. The word blessed means God made it holy. God made it holy. God sanctified it. God consecrated it. God dedicated it. God set it apart. Why did God make this seventh day holy? Why did He want man to see it as special? Because it tells us, because that in it He had ceased, or He had rested from all His work. We believe that the people of Israel, in the law of God, were commanded to observe the Sabbath. We believe that the New Testament Baptist Church, that the Lord transferred that emphasis from the Sabbath, which would have been a Saturday, to the Lord's Day, which is Sunday. And I'm not going to belabor the point how in the New Testament we see Sunday being the Lord's Day being set aside. I just want you to think about the blessing God put upon the seventh day. There's a principle here that God gives us by His example, a principle that God gives us by His command later on, a principle here that man has 6 days to do as he pleases. 6 days to do his work. 6 days to have fun. 6 days, whatever. But God asked for that seventh day. Rather, it's the Sabbath, Saturday to the Jews, or Sunday, the Lord's Day to us. God gives us this principle. And I always get myself chasing rabbits and going down rabbit holes. And I stop and think about all that God has to say about that seventh. How that God here at the beginning called it holy, consecrated it, set it apart. And I look at our world today, and I ask myself, where would we be if man had honored that principle God gave us here? If man observed, instead of his greed controlling him and covetousness and worldliness, if man gave God a seventh, if every 7 days man rested, man ceased from his labor, man stopped having an impact upon the world, where would the world be today? We can only imagine. Every 7 weeks, we would have saved a week. We would have saved a week. You can just do the math. How many weeks are in a year? After a year's time of giving the Lord a seventh, or separating ourselves from the effects of work and the effects of our activities upon the earth, if we save those for a year, I think we'd be living in a different world. I think the world is so messed up today partly because man's a bad steward. Man doesn't care for the creation like he was obligated by God to care for it. And man only knows one way. Man knows only one speed. Full out, full speed ahead. We can't work 8 hours a day. We've got to go 24 hours a day. We've got to have 3 shifts. We've got to have 24-hour shifts. We can't have 5 or 6 days work day. We've got to have 7. And I believe we're paying the consequences of the neglect of man to think about this simple, basic principle. God blessed the seventh and made it holy. He sanctified, consecrated it. He set it apart. Look at Isaiah 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Verse 13 and 14. Listen to what God says here. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, means if you'll turn aside and rest. If you'll turn aside, stop going full speed ahead. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. There he calls it as he did in Genesis. And call the Sabbath a delight, not a burden, but a delightful thing. The holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways or finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Listen to what God says in verse 14. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Well, you just honor that principle of giving God a day, resting a day, ceasing for a day. God promises to bless. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. If we're taking that seventh day and resting, we're taking that seventh day, keeping it holy unto the Lord, what impact is that going to have upon us physically? What impact is that going to have upon us emotionally? How much better off are we going to be physically, emotionally, all around? How better off are we going to be if we honor what God plainly teaches us in His Word? Now back there in Genesis 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, 5, and 6. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth. The word generation here means history, accounting, record or recording. See, God is not having another day of creation. He's amplifying what He's already said about creation in chapter 1. This is the history. This is the record. These are the accounting of God's creating the heavens and the earth. These are the generations, the history, or the accounting of the heavens and of the earth, when they were created in the day of the Lord, or in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, for there was not a man to till the ground. Look at the record here going in sequence. Man wasn't created till the last. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Not a second record of creation, but a more detailed account. God said it is finished. He's not having a new creation. When He said finished in verse number 1, He meant it. This is not a new creation, but a record of creation, a more detailed record, if you would. A record of when they were created in the day of God. The history before any plant was in the ground or any herb had grown, before it had rained, before there was any man to till the ground, when God watered the earth with a mist. These are just references to the more details, to more details of the creation. These are the histories. Then verse number 7. Chapter 1 told us in verse 26, God created man. Male and female created He them. And chapter 2, verse number 7, is just recounting the creation history, the creation record, and giving us some more details. When Genesis 1, 26 and 27 talks about God creating man, male and female, creating He them, chapter 2, verse 7 simply relates to us how God did that. He took the dust of the earth. He took the soil. And He formed man. After He formed man, there man was bodily. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became unique from all other creations. Man became a living soul. Lord God, formed man of the dust of the earth. There's a wondrous study in considering the soil that covers this earth. And how that is found in soil, all the necessities and all the elements of life and supporting life. And the Bible tells us, and we know by experience, when a man or a woman dies, they go back to the dust from which they were formed. The soil that covers this earth, and the fact that man turns back to dust after he dies, just reinforces for us the fact that God formed man of the dust of the ground. And if you have a problem believing God could form a man out of the dust of this earth, then like I said at the beginning of this study, you've got a problem with everything the Bible says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. If you have a problem with any part of those four words, you're going to have a problem with a lot of things you find in the Bible. We must believe those things. We can't pick and choose and not believe these and then choose to believe John 3:16 later on. Must all be the Word of God. We find in this passage of Scripture, verse number 4, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. This is the first place where we find God not called Elohim. But this is the first place where God is called Jehovah. Jehovah, God. Jehovah, or Lord. Because man has been created, and man was created to have relationship with God. And once man was created and all these creation things were done and finished, God calls himself Jehovah because he is the sovereign, he is the eternal, he is the covenant-making and the covenant-keeping God. He calls himself Jehovah here because man was made to have relationship with him. God breathed into man the breath of life. God had a relationship with man as man was created for that purpose. God breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And man breathes until God tells him to stop breathing. God is in control of life. God is in the control of the ending of life. We find in this passage of Scripture the fact and the reality that God breathed into man the breath of life and man became a living soul. The soul of man lives forever. We asked you last week to consider those questions that come across our minds. Maybe philosophical in nature. What am I? What am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? As we saw last week, we see again in this portion of Scripture that those questions are answered. Who are you? You're a man. You're a woman. You're a human being. Who brought you to this place? God created you. God gave you life. God brought you into this world. Why are you here? You're here to glorify God, to honor Him, to exalt Him. Obedience, praise, worship, work, All of these things existed before the law. They're found here in the early portions of the book of Genesis. God created an earth in which humans could grow and gather food before he made man. Think about that. He created an earth in which humans could grow and gather food before he made man to do those things. Shows you the importance of man, the significance of man. God made an earth in which humans were needed to care for all that he had made. He created a world that needed man to make all, take care of all that God had made. And he made man and then stepped into that relationship. Why are you here today? Where'd you come from? Why are you here? Where are you going from here? Where will you spend eternity? What is your relationship with God? Is your relationship with God the God of the Bible? Is your relationship with God the God who created all things and created you to have relationship with you? Do you have relationship with God? Do you know his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior? Are you in a relationship with God? Communion with God? If God has given you life and you're a living soul, you're going to live forever somewhere. What's the answer to that question for you this morning? Where are you going to spend eternity? The answer all depends upon what you've done with the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and what your relationship with God is. Do you stand defiant? Do you stand living a life, raising your fist to God and say, I don't believe you made me. I don't believe I'm accountable. I don't believe. I'll not believe. Are you really ready to go off into eternity with that fist raised? Would you not be better off taking that fist down, opening that hand up, and receiving the gift of God, which is eternal life, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? God is God, and God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ceased his work. God emphasized that. He stopped working. He gave us some more details about the creation in verse 4, 5, and 6. Then he reminds us how man was formed. With the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Let's stand together.